Yeah. NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, man. Welcome to NBA Australia. It's Friday, November 30. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer of Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larryama Studios, the still under construction Larryama Studios. Still doing this all handheld. Oh, geez. Letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up every day of NBA action this season. Just while repping Australia a little bit, mate. It's what we do. So, today, a lot of stuff going on. We had a bit of a NBA Finals preview. What do you reckon? Got a bit of Dwight Howard news and some other fun games going on. So we'll cover all that with all the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife. Old mate, no mate, spud of the night, and better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, there's Yena, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up some flame grilled jokes. And because it's Friday, we also have our Dickhead of the Week, and we're going to finish up by previewing and picking every single game for the entire weekend. Oh, geez, it's a big one too. So we'll also close out with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter, because why not? It's just good stuff. All right, let's get into it. NBA's back. This is NBA Australia episode 194. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Ah, you better. Because we are starting off today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around right there. So we've got a tiny bit of news. We had the big Kyle Korver trade yesterday. Today, Dwight Howard is having surgery on his butt. I mean, sure, make your jokes if you want. I'm going to refrain. Oh, am I? Ah, Dwight, what a pain in the ass. That's literally how much of a pain in the ass he is. He needs that surgery in his butt. He's probably to get his own fucking head out of there, to be honest. All right, let's get into, that's basically all the news. Not a giant amount going on today. It was this Craig Sager Appreciation Night on TNT and across the NBA, which was really, really cool. Awesome to see everybody sort of rolling out there in their fancy attire in memory of the great man, Craig Sager. Very neat, very cool. Let's just get stuck into some rap, shall we? Yeah, let's do the damn thing. We had an absolute barn burner up there in Toronto between the Raptors and the Golden State Warriors. Raptors win at 131-128 in overtime. This was an absolute rip snorter. What a game. We had Kawhi versus the other coward, Kevin Durant. But no Steph Curry, no Draymond Green. Still fun, still awesome. Right at the death of this man, like Danny Green, Kyle Lowry gave the Raps like a 6-point lead in the last minute, and then KD just went fucking bang! Hit a couple of back-to-back threes, and Clamps Leonard fucked up. He's like, oh, I'm going to drive the ball, and then I'm going to pass it, so there's not enough time for Serge Ibaka to shoot. And they went to overtime, and then the Raps sort of just eked it out at the end. It was great. Very, very, very fun game. But Kevin Durant was just on, you know, and fucking next level. And you're just like one of those games where you're like, this dude is fucking unstoppable. Can we get him his own team? New York, New York. So for the Warriors, the coward, Kevin Durant. Come on, mate. You all know this. 51 points. Holy shit. 11 rebounds, 6 assists, crushed it. Klay Thompson had 23 points on 9 of 20 shooting. Only 3 of 9 from 3, but he's been great of late as Klay. I've really enjoyed his resurgence, basically. He was pretty rubbish for the first run of games for the Warriors, and then for the last, I think it's like 12 or so, he's been like lights out, averaging like 26 points a game. He's been really, really bloody good. Come on, man. I mean, this is the Warriors that we're talking about, though. So you're like, oh, cool, those two guys did good. How'd they still score 128? It's like, that's a good point. No one's entirely sure. Jonas Jerebko, the Swedish Larry Bird, he had 20 points and 9 rebounds. There wasn't a giant amount of help from elsewhere either. But the Warriors, man, when you got KD scoring 51, you don't need two giant amounts. But it would have been nice for them to hit a couple more shots. And the Warriors just couldn't get over the hump. It was just like those sort of weird junk buckets that Iguodala would usually get. Like when he gets to that random sort of, 11 points or something, that's when you go, oh, these guys are fucking unstoppable, mate. Old Iguodala junk buckets. It just wasn't quite there, you know. Because, he ended up with 6 points. He went 0 of 3 from 3, though. Quinn Cook went 0 of 2 from 3. And that's that'll sink you. When those sort of dudes just aren't hitting one or two shots right there. So for the Raps, Kawhi Leonard was a pretty good showing. A season high, 37 points with 8 rebounds and 3 assists. For Clamps, Leonard. Pascal Siakam had a career high 26. Big Booty Car Lowry, he had 10 points on 4 of 14 shooting. Oh, geez. But he did have 12 assists, so that's neat. Danny, not the boxer, Green, hit some big threes as well, finished with 13. And my name is Jonas Valanciunas, also had 12 and 4. But man, Toronto got hot early on, rode it, and then Golden State just caught all the way back up to them. And you're like, even without Steph, even without Draymond, damn, these guys are good. So Golden State, they fall to 15 and 8. Toronto moved to 19 and 4. Not bloody bad, mate. Not bloody bad. In Los Angeles, the Pacers roll into LA and lose 104-96. this is a rough one, I guess, for the Pacers without Victor Oladipo. But DeMar DeSabonis, the Souvlaki King, he keeps crushing it. 20 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists. Crushed it. 6 of 13 from the field. He's awesome. Just a shame about the rest of the fucking Pacers, isn't it? Jesus. Bojan Bogdanovic, he had 14 points. And Corey Joseph had 10. Dougie McBuckets had 10. Thad Young had 11. But as a team, they shot 37% from the field. Oh, geez, that won't do it. For the Lakers, though, meanwhile, LeBron James, 38 points, 9 rebounds and 7 assists. Yep, that'll be the difference. Not much else there, though, for the old Lakers. Brandon Spindles Ingram, 14 points on 6 of 15 shooting. Kobe. 13 points for Josh Hart. Notorious KCP, he had 11 points. And Lance make him dance up against his old team. Played 5 minutes and had 0 points. Rough, mate. Even Kuz couldn't get going. He had 11 on 9 shots. Lonzo had a rough one. We'll talk about that later. But the Lakers just absolutely kicked the shit out of them. They were up 24 early in this. The craziest part was the Pacers came all the way back and led, and then the Lakers managed to eke it out in the second half. Bit of an arm wrestle, but they got there in the end. So good job, Lakers. On yours. And then the final game of today, it was the Sacramento Kings hosting the Clippers, and the Clippers win. Keep rolling. 130. Oh, wait a second. We're going to go back and see what the, it was the Lakers Indy game. Lakers are now 12 and 9. There we go. And the Pacers are 13 and 9. Nice. Good stuff. Closure. Clippers, as mentioned, 133-121 over the Kings. Danilo Gallinari, he had 16 on 15, but it was Tobias, the never nude Harris, 28 points. Crushed it on 17 shots. God damn, he was good in this game too. 24 for Montrez Harrell. He's damn fucking good too at the moment. Absolutely crushing it. What else? There was Lou Will only had 10 points on 10 shots. Oh yeah, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the Shy Redder. 6 of 9 from the field. Nice. 17 points he ends up with. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Avery Bradley had 16 as well in his return. Marcin Gortat, the Polish Hammer, had 9 too. The Clippers just ran over the sort of top of them. It was just like, oh, all right, cool. Bam. How do you like that? And then Sacramento came right back at him, and it was all very close, but the Clippers just outlasted them in the second half. For the Kings, Big Willie Cauley Stein style had 17 and 10. Diaz of Fox had 17 points and 9 assists. 6 of 13 shooting as well. Pretty good. But it was Bogdanovic. That's right. 8 of 20 shooting for 26 points to go with 6 assists. He's unreal. Fucking love him. Marvy Bagges had 18 and 10 as well. And Sacramento cruising along. But when Buddy Steph Curry Hield only shoots 4 of 13 and 0 of 7 from 3, for them to even be that close to the Clips is pretty impressive. So good job. Belly Belica has fallen off a bit of a cliff of late. Only played 19 minutes in this because Marvy Bagges is out there crushing it with his 18 and 10. We'll talk about this whole situation a little bit later. But the Clips smoked him. Good stuff. Clips now 15 and 6 at the top of the West. And Sacramento Kings dropped to 10 and 11, just under 500. I feel like it's a natural habitat, really, don't you? Yeah, I guess. All right, let's get through to the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night. What do you reckon?
That's a knife.
The coward Kevin Durant. Holy shit, even in a loss. Don't know what to tell you. 51 points, 18 of 31 shooting, 4 of 7 from 3. Fucking hell, mate. Those last two threes that he hit to get it to overtime to tie it all up. Holy hell. Unbelievable performance. He scored 40 in three straight games now. Kevin Durant, the Slim Reaper. This is what we need to see out of him as well. Like, just take this to New York next year. Forget this old Golden State thing. You're going to win another title. You'll probably win another Finals MVP. Stay one more year if you want and then go to New York. But man, just give us this all the time. Stop sharing the ball with fucking Steph. Let's do it, Kevin. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no
mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Who's got no mates today? Well, it's probably Dwight Howard's butt. I mean, for all the crap it's been through. But man, just too many easy jokes. It's almost enough to make you feel sorry for the dickhead, but not really. You know, all of his sexual stuff aside, couldn't give a fuck about that. It's still very funny that Dwight Howard's pain in the ass, he is a pain in the ass, and his pain in the ass is causing him to be even more of a pain in the ass and not play for Washington. So, yeah, it's a tough one. But his butt, old mate, no mates. That's how it goes. What about Spud of the Night today out of the three games?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night goes to the combo of Darren Collison and Tyreek Evans. There for Indiana, Collison shot 3 of 12 and Tyreek went 2 of 10. Collison was actually 2 of 11 and hit a meaningless bucket at the very end there. But it was Tyreek who blocked his own shot at the rim that really sputtered this one up. It was legitimately amazing. It's like the Pacers are kind of in this. He takes it to the rack. The game's close. He's going to get him back in it. Somehow, he's managed to get his own fingers between the ball and the rim and essentially hit his fingers off the rim and block his own fucking shot. Bouncing the ball back and not going in. It was legitimately one of the funniest things I've ever fucking seen on a basketball court. Tyreek Evans, Darren Collison combining for 5 of 22 shooting. You are co-spuds of the night, but Tyreek Evans blocking your own shot, mate. That is just next level sputting it up. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Good stuff, mate. Pantsing of the night goes to Montrezl Harrell. He got Shump's nuts in his mouth on a pretty brutal jump over by Shump. Montrez was down on the ground for a very long time. And you're like, yeah, it's because he had another man's penis resting on his forehead. Tough. So that was a bit of a pantsing. Montrez is like, ah, I didn't want to have the outprint of Shump's dick on my forehead, but this is where we are. All right, better than Lonzo Ball for today.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody, especially when everybody isn't shooting 1 of 6 from the field like Lonzo did today. So 1 of 6 goes Lonzo, 0 of 3 from 3. Finishes with 2 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. Holy shit, that's a crap one. So who was better than Lonzo Ball? Well, literally anybody who scored more than 2 points. Fucking hell, that was brutal. But specifically, De'Aaron Fox, 6 of 13 he shot today. 17 points, 9 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals and a block against the Clips. And his opposite number, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, matched his points total with 17 as well. Also had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals and 2 blocks. The Shai Redder, he is fucking crushing it. So there you go, the two of them easily better than Lonzo Ball today. No Trae Young, obviously, because Atlanta didn't play. But there you go. Easy. Better than Lonzo Ball. Come on, man. LeVar, you're just making it too easy on me, mate. Who was Dickhead of the Week, though? This is Friday. It's what we do. Going to give away the coveted Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week.
Yeah, this one goes to Brandon Williams, the Kings assistant GM, who pretty clearly, probably, most definitely, almost allegedly leaked that Dave Yeager on the hot seat shit because he wasn't playing Marvy Bags enough. And then Dave Yeager's like, what the fuck? And brought in the big guns and told him to fuck off. And then today, sources told Sam Amick of The Athletic that Dave Yeager's like, yeah, can that guy get the fuck out of my gym for this fucking practice today here on our home court? Because he's a fuckwit and I'm sick of him. Get him the fuck out of here. Not his words, my words, obviously. But kicked him out of shoot around because he was obviously like, I don't like this guy because he pretty clearly leaked this whole thing about me, which is some bullshit, and fuck him. And there was another source that said to Amick that the decision to get Brent Williams to leave shoot around was a one-time only move that was intended to send a message of strength and unity to his players. Clearly not to his franchise, but still. Good stuff. I love it. Good job, Dave Yeager. Time to fuck off because Brandon Williams, man, that guy really fucking doesn't mind his own the stench of his own farts there. So before he was assistant GM at Sacramento, Williams is also the GM for the 87ers, the Philly G League affiliate, who are now the Delaware Bluecoats. His record in that span was 79 wins, 121 losses over four seasons. Jesus, he went 12 and 38, 20 and 30, 21 and 29, and 26 and 24. Not a giant amount about that screams, this guy's got a great eye for putting teams together. Jesus. So anyway, the whole, like, basically trying to, like, get Dave Yeager shit canned, Brandon Williams, you're still our dickhead of the week. And good job, Dave Yeager, for telling him to fuck off. Good stuff. All right, we'll be back in a second with Yeah Nah right after this one.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, it's Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, this has been floating around today. Should the Suns trade for Markelle Fultz? We were just talking about Markelle, was it yesterday, the day before, and what his actual trade value would have been. Well, should the Suns trade for him? Yeah, nah. Yeah. I mean, I mentioned this yesterday about Devin Booker's super team comment. And this is like the one way to do it, is like, you know, trade for disgruntled young talent. But the thing is, I'd rather keep Josh Jackson and Mikal Bridges on the Suns because they're better than Markelle Fultz right now. And perhaps in the future, because he might not ever be good. So I'd rather have those dudes and make sure that they get better and keep them on Booker's super team rather than rolling the dice and hoping, you know, that if I trade one of those for Markelle, that Markelle turns out all right. If you can get rid of something else for him, sure, roll the fucking dice. But otherwise, you want to keep your good shit, give him the shit stuff. That's how it goes. Number two. Should the Brooklyn Nets extend Spencer Dinwiddie before December 8? Oh, yeah, nah. Oh, nah. Look, I love Spencer. But the Nets can pay him $47 million over 4 years, or basically now if they want to extend him, or instead let him become an unrestricted free agent and wait and see how they go with their cap space this offseason. And I would 100% go the fucking ladder because, yes, he's good, but he's not... cost yourself a chance at two top free agents at the same time good, right? He is very funny though as well because he was taking shots and saying how he's not going to sign with Detroit or Chicago. He's like, yeah, there's like 29 other teams out there. Oh, wait, 27 Detroit, Chicago, because they gave up on him and traded him two different times and now he's out there crushing it for Brooklyn. So even though he's really good, you can't give him the extension because as much as you love him and how good he is, he's not going to be an overall difference maker, whereas you might be able to get a difference maker with that extra $10 million and bring two big dudes in next year, maybe. Who knows? And you can also still pay him. It's all good. Anyway, so finally, hey, are the Clippers for real at the moment? Yeah, nah, yeah, for the minute they definitely are. But there's one thing that crossed my mind about them is I'm very curious to see how they're going to be in about 3 weeks' time, though, when, like, Gallo, you know, invariably gets, like, a weird calf strain, or Lou Williams, like, has, like, a bit of a quad ping or something, because they're such a weird sum of their parts. You could see it falling apart very, 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 very quickly. But for the moment, god damn, they're fun to watch, aren't they? It's awesome. I love it. All right, time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me, look at me, look at me. Today, if the Raptors didn't beat a half-strength Golden State team, it would have been a fucking disaster for the NBA, right? Like, the Raptors had to win that game because everyone could have then turned around and gone, oh, shit, we all know that Golden State are the best team, but without two of their best players, they just beat the presumptive best NBA team going, a team that's lost four fucking games all year. So how much do you reckon the NBA were like, hey, refs, just saying, can you not let Golden State win this one? Because we want people to come to the games for the rest of the year and watch them. Jesus, I'll tell you what, man. Because it was, it's fun to see Golden State as an underdog, but at the same time, when you know how good they are, and if they could go out there and whip Toronto at full strength, basically, the best team in the East, easily, if the fucking Warriors had beaten them, what the fuck would we all be doing here? We'd be sitting there going, oh, I'm going to scratch my nuts for the next 5 months because clearly Golden State are going to win the title again. Me, I'm actually more of an optimist about how they might not win, but still, this would have been fucking atrocious. All right, so there you go. That was a good unpopular opinion of the day, I guess. Is it? Fuck, who cares? Step on in to Outback Takehouse. It's Friday, TGIF, am I right? Only at Outback. And TGIF Fridays at Outback means 3-for-1, oil drum can Fosters. Because no one back in Australia drinks this piss, we're going to foist it on you Yanks. Only at Outback. And you know what it goes great with? A flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is Kevin Durant is better than Larry Bird. Done and done. Only at Outback. Wow, that is a flame grill take. I think the case is there. Love me some Larry Bird. My dog is literally named Larry. I'm wearing Larry Bird socks right now. It's why I'm a Boston supporter for all the other teams apart from the Celtics. But man, the coward Kevin Durant, for all of his cowardice, might be right up there. Might be. Whoa, it's a rough one. All right, let's get to the Australian Player Watch and the Luke Longley Role Player All-Star right after, ooh, what do you say, this one?
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, E-Brew, and you're listening to NBA Streeter, E. Cheer, Brew.
Right, we are back with Australian Player Watch. Let's do the damn thing. So, no Australian players play today, but we do have a whole bunch of them on the weekend. So, Ben Simmons has got Washington on Saturday and Memphis on Monday. Jingling Joe Ingles has got Charlotte and Miami over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. And then King Daly and Kong and Dante Exum, obviously, is playing with Jingler. King Daly of Maribara and Kung Fu Thon play the Knicks, I believe it's tomorrow. Yeah, that sounds about right. No, Sunday. There you go. Nice. Sweet. Paddy Thrills Mills hosts Houston on Saturday and Portland on Monday, playing up against his old team again. Love that. Bangers Aaron Baines has got a home game against the Cavs on Saturday, then off to Mini on Sunday with the Celtics. And Ryan Rowdy Brockoff is in LA for the Lakers and then goes back to Dallas to host the Clippers. It's a weird schedule quirk, I suppose. We'll catch up with the G League guys on Monday. They've got a bunch of games over the weekend. And let's get into this week's Luke Longley Memorial All-Star Role Player Hall of Fame. And this one's a classic. If there's a man who personified role player and did it to perfection, his name was Eric Snow. Oh, yes, Eric Snow. Actually drafted by my beloved Seattle Supersonics. What was that, 95, 96? Went to 3 NBA Finals next to some transcendent talent. He was on the 96 Sonics as a rookie, got out there during the finals a couple of times, and then was much more prominent as a starter with Allen Iverson on the Sixers in 2001, then came off the bench with LeBron in Cleveland in 07. That was awesome, and that was his role, right? Play as defensive point guard next to a main ball handler. Make sure you make the right pass, lock down whichever of the opposition guards you need him to, and that's what he did. He was a fucking defensive terror. I mean, we've brought up Derek and Ron Harper before, I believe, in the Luke Longley Memorial All-Star Role Players, but Eric Snow was basically like the 2000s version of those guys with less scoring because the dude could not fucking shoot a lick. But he still, in his best years, averaged about 13 points a game with 7 assists, which is pretty fucking awesome for a dude who couldn't shoot threes to save his life. He was also always up there in steals, you know, 1.7, 1.8 a game, and he was also just an impressively badass MFR who looked kind of like an alien sometimes, which really helped a lot, you know? It's like, you don't want to really drive on a guy who could actually zap you into like a million pieces because you're not sure if he's an alien or not. So there you go. Eric Snow was awesome as a role player, the perfect kind of role player. defensive point guard par excellence, Eric Snow. You are a Luke Longley Memorial All-Star Role Player Hall of Famer. Love it. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Bullet, Twitter check-in, and all of the weekend game previews.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we are back. It's the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, and no more Patty. It's just like, man, where's his Game Day Ballers going at? It's killing me. So instead, we had Dally retweeting a Bucks tweet saying, today, Bucks guard Matthew Dally and his wife Anna visited students participating in the second year of their Dally's Deer reading program at Our Next Generation, brackets ONG, which is obviously a not-for-profit. That's good. Then book emojis and another book emoji. Oh my God, Dally, you dead set legend. That's awesome. Helping kids read, what a legend. That's awesome. I'd expect nothing less from the King of Murrumburra. First of his name, Smasher of Tins. Good job, Dally. You're a legend. That's inspiring as hell. All right, let's get through to the weekend game preview, shall we?
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane. You've been helping me out. My voice is still a bit fucked, isn't it? So,
yes. Yes, it is. It's because you've been battling a very bad cold.
Thanks, man.
Not a problem.
Oh, Jesus, Inadvertent Bane. You need to chill fuck out. All right, Saturday. Got some pretty tasty games. We've got 11 games. Australian Saturday. We've got Cavs at Celtics. Oh, that should be pretty easy for the Celtics. What do you reckon? Do you want to do some live betting odds as well in the Saturday games as well? May as well. Let's just do the damn thing, shall we? So Cavs at Celtics. Obviously, I don't think you could really... Would you even bother putting money on the Celtics at that point? Probably not. But still... So Cavs at Celtics. Oh, Cavs are 12.5 point underdogs. Yeah, I might even still take the Celtics minus 12.5. Thanks. Wizards go in and play Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and the 76ers. Sixers are 7.5 point favorites, and I'll take that because the Wizards are a rabble. I mean, yeah, they've been better lately. I don't fucking care. They're still a rabble. Detroit Pistons are 9.5 point favorites over the Chicago Bulls. I might take the Bulls plus 9.5. That's a lot, and the Bulls can still score. They're very, 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 very up and down, though, and they might only score 80, but they can get hot and beat teams. The Utah Jazz Jingler and Dante Exum go to Charlotte to take on Kemba Walker, and Charlotte are favored by 2 points. And you know what? The Jazz suck, so I might take those 2 points from Charlotte. Minus two, I think they might win that. No problems. Memphis go to Brooklyn to visit the Nets. Brooklyn are 1 point underdogs at home. I will take the Grizzlies. Thank you very much. Minus one. The Nets, just not, they're keeping close in a bunch of these games, but they're not winning any of them. And yeah, minus one. I will take that for the Grizz. New Orleans versus the Miami Heat. Oh, 3 point favorites on the road are the Pelicans. And I might take that. I think they can absolutely beat the bejesus out of the Heat. Heat, there's just something off about them this year. And I wouldn't be too surprised if there's like one or two more like sneaky injuries and they start tanking hardcore. Houston visits San Antonio. Rockets are 1.5 point underdogs, which is wild. It's probably because they're second worst team in the West at the moment. But the Spurs, I just can't trust them. I think the Rockets will come out and smoke them. The Spurs just, there's not much going really right for them at the moment, is there? I mean, what was it? LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan just sputtered it up in their last game. So maybe there's a bounce back, but at the same time, Houston just haven't been, they've lost four straight, and I expect them to come out and fucking just blitz this shit out of the Spurs. Yeah, sorry about that there, Spurs fans. Atlanta Hawks go to OKC. Oh, the Dennis Schroeder German Rondo revenge game. He could put up fucking 60 in this. The Thunder, 13.5 point favorites. You could not make that line high enough. I will take that. I reckon they'll absolutely kick the shit out of the Hawks. The Magic go to the Suns. Magic have lost four straight as well, and they're 1 point underdogs against the Suns, which is wild. I will take the Magic plus one. Thank you very much. The Suns are just shit. The Magic are much better. the Suns, for the Suns to be favored is just ridiculous. Dallas at Lakers. Dallas plus 3.5 point underdogs. Lakers on a back-to-back. I'll take Dallas, thank you very much. I just watched Luka fucking tear apart everybody, so I'll take Dallas until otherwise, you know, they get the shit kicked out of them. And then finally on Saturday, you've got the Nuggets traveling to Portland, and the Trailblazers are 2.5 point favorites at home. And I might take that. I think they might beat. This might be a bit of a weird Jusuf Nurkić and Mason Plumlee revenge game maybe, but I'll take Portland in that. Sunday, we've got 7 games. Milwaukee, Delhi and Kung Fu, going to the New York Knickerbockers of New York City. I will take Milwaukee in that, obviously, because New York City suck. Golden State, Steph is back for this game versus Detroit. I'll take Golden State in that one. Brooklyn go to Washington. I'll take Washington because Brooklyn on a back-to-back. Washington at home, that would just be fine. It'd be a close one, though, that one. Toronto get to go to Cleveland, which would be nice, and kick the shit out of them. So Toronto will win that. Chicago go to Houston. Houston on a back-to-back, but they don't have to go too far. They're just in Texas there, that San Antonio game the night before. So give me Houston. Boston at Minnesota, bit of a tough one. Celtics at home, then fly all the way to Minnesota. I might take Minnesota in that. Indiana at Sacramento is the last game for Sunday. And I might take Sacramento in this. A couple of days off for both teams, but I reckon Sacramento will win that at home. And then finally, the Monday games we'll be covering in depth. We've got Phoenix at Lakers. Lakers will win that. New Orleans at Charlotte. I will take New Orleans in that. Utah at Miami. Utah should probably beat Miami even on the road. Miami are a bit up and down, I'll tell you that much. Memphis at Philly. Oh, geez. I might take Philly there just because I want to see Joel Embiid kick the shit out of Marc Gasol. Clippers go to Dallas. I think the Clippers will win that. And then Portland at San Antonio. Very fun game to finish off Monday. Give me, I think, San Antonio. A bit of travel there for Portland. I think San Antonio might spark up for that one. LaMarcus Aldridge might go bananas. Holy shit. And you know what? That's it for this week. Holy crap. I got to run because I'm going to go cover the Boomers game right now against Iran. It's going to be fun. So we're back on Monday with more ridiculousness. We're going to wrap up all of the action from the NBA weekend, and there's going to be a lot of it with 24 games. Holy shit. And it's going to be pretty good. So make sure you're following us on Twitter, Facey, Instagram. We'll be all over the Boomers game tonight. All over all the games on the weekend. Getting my dog on Sunday, which would be nice. Excited about that. Should be fun. Larry Armour Studios will have its namesake here, finally. Huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro music. Go check out the new band, though, House Hats. I'm going to go to that after the Boomers game tonight. They're playing the Gasometer in Collingwood. It's going to be sick. They're the best band in Australia right now. Their new single, I've Been Broken, is an absolute rip snorter. You hear it behind Yeah Nah every day. So get that more in your ears and request it on Triple J, whatever radio station you like. Chuck them a request. House Hats, I've Been Broken. See you at the Gasso tonight for some cans. And that's it, man. Thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Gringer, and Green Dozers for all the other tunes throughout NBA Australia. We all support Australian bands here at NBA Australia. And I reckon we're going to finish off with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. It's going to be awesome. All right. So thanks for a great week. Thanks for sticking by me. Thanks for the messages, support, and everything. It's been wild. I've been very fucking sick. I still have put out the show every day. It's been a little bit late. It's also because I've not been able to think straight or talk very well. And also, we just moved house and Larry Armour Studios is a fucking mess. So bear with me. We'll get this figured up hopefully by next week. No problem. So, all right. That's it. We'll catch us on Monday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying have a fucking cracking weekend and later, on. All right, and welcome to this week's show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And look, because all these latte drinking, left wing, SJW snowflakes everywhere, someone has to be out there telling it like it is, mate. And that's just like, you know, it's just what I do, mate. It's just what I do. You know, I'm Andrew Bogut. I tell these left wing idiots what to think, and they're like, why not to think? And like, hey, you got to think for yourselves and stuff, mate. I like talk about betting commercials and traffic and where to live and stuff. And if you don't like my opinions, mate, you can go get stuff, mate. So, okay, let's get to the Twitter internet and slam some Twitter snowflakes. All right, what do we have here this week? Oh, sorry, I don't know if you saw this, but I'm going to tweet out a picture of my car, mate. Old girl just got a full detail and coating. Oh, that is sick, mate. That's my VL Commodore. It is full on sick, mate. Oh, and this dickhead, Adam Len, he comes back and says, Andrew Bogan, ha 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 ha. Oh, fuck you, dickhead. Don't you talk about my fucking car like that. Oh, fucking cut your fucking head off, you dick. Congrats. You have come up with banter that was real popular in grade 2. Clever fella. Fucking I wanna fucking kill that dickhead. What are you doing, you fuckwit? Don't talk shit about my car. Alright, oh, this other guy. Did you see this story about this Texas woman? So ABC, they tweeted out this one. Name shaming. This Texas woman claims a Southwest Air agent made fun of her 5-year-old daughter's name as they were preparing to board their flight. Thing is, her daughter's name was AB. CDE. Oh, what the fuck are you doing, you idiots? I'm gonna retweet that one and just have the face slapping on your head emoji. Oh, nice one, Bogey. How many fucking stupid people's out there? That is hilarious, mate. On one of the best ones is like Chris Martin, he showed me this screenshot of this other lady who said we should all give like newborn babies' numbers rather than names until they are ready to determine their own gender identity. Oh, that's funny as, mate. I better retweet that one. That's funny as, bro. Oh, names. Oh, I'm just going to put like the emoji with the like laughing, sweating one. That's funny as, mate. Oh, what else is there this week? Oh, Rita Panahi. She's like my favorite. She said, if we are to have quotas for women, then why not underrepresented groups in parliament? Other ones like religious and ethnic quotas. LGBTQIA quotas, or here's a crazy idea, we select based on talent and character. This is my column in Wednesday's Herald Sun. Oh, that's a great idea, mate. Any 7-footers? This must be addressed immediately. Hashtag equality, hashtag heightism. Oh, see, that'll show them. Jesus, it's like I need my own thing as well, just like everybody else, mate. Oh, and the Herald Sun, they tweeted out, it's my favorite newspaper, mate. I love these guys. The pedestrians could be slapped with fines for not paying attention while crossing the road under a radical plan to cut the rising pedestrian death toll. Oh, mate, I got a great joke about this one. I think this will sort itself out without the fines. Thumbs up emoji. Nice one, Bogie. That's a great one. Okay, that's all we have time for this week. I've been Andrew Bogut. Catch me next week on NBA Australia for more. Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.